Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Where did we come from? Why are we here? And what's going to happen to us? That's what apologetics is. Apologetics is a field of study. It's different than theology. Theology is to study God, to think about God. Apologetics is backing up a bit and thinking about just the world, right? And answering these three questions. And this will help us. Apologetics is what helps us to reach out to all kinds of different cultures. And it really started with Paul, and it kind of gives us a little outline here. Where did we come from? Well, Paul wrote earlier to the Romans a very helpful verse. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be made known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So, Stoics. Okay, who were the Stoics? You guys hear that word Stoic, you think of somebody who's just no emotion, right? I talk like a robot, I am a Stoic. That's not a Stoic, okay? Stoics were pantheists. That means pantheism is all gods. Basically, God is in the rock, God is in the flower. God is a universe, and the universe is God. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, the book The Secret in Hollywood didn't come up with this. Okay, this has been a belief. Just ask the universe. You can't ask the universe anything. The universe is dust and clouds and the cosmos, cosmic radiation, planets, stars. They're all made. What you want to do is you want to talk to God. Amen? Not the universe. So that's pantheism. And Stoics were pantheists. They believed God was real, but that God was basically in everything. And they were into logic and reasoning. They were basically into kind of some things that were similar to the Christian teaching, but not quite. The Epicureans, now you heard that word Epicurus before, right? Oh, that's like food, right? The Food Channel, all the Epicureans, right? Okay. That basically is kind of a misnomer. The idea was that the Epicureans were kind of hedonistic. That is, they were all just eat everything, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's called hedonism, okay? That is very different than the Epicureans. The Epicureans were not like that. They just believed in simply just live for the now, enjoy life. Yeah, there are multiple gods somewhere. They don't care about us. When we die, we're just going to get buried and eaten by worms anyway. So, you know, don't worry about death. Don't worry about anything. Just live for now. But live in a way that's simple and pleasurable. That's kind of what they were about. And so they had little ideas here and there that were similar to maybe some of the things that are in the Bible, but not quite. And so, what does he say? He says, he blows them away. He answers the questions. Look, God is seen. We should know God is real and that he created us because we look at everything, right? We are without excuse. The very reason that we're here, the very reason that we see the planets, the stars here, that ought to show us that there's something intelligent that made all this stuff, right? There's somebody intelligent that made all this. That's what we would call deduction or common sense, right? But we know common sense isn't exactly common anymore, right? So, what's he saying? He's saying, look, it's not what you guys think. You guys are worshiping this unknown God. Let me tell you about the unknown God. There's one God, not a whole bunch. One. And he made everything. Everything and everybody. He made it all. And it says, and the word says in Psalms, what, that the heavens declare the glory of God. You ought to Google that. There's a great thing that was done by a pastor. He's got a whole, I forget his name, Louis Giglio, yeah. It's an excellent presentation on the whole thing. Maybe I'll do that sometime. But the heavens declare the glory of God, right? So we just kind of look around ourselves, and I'm paraphrasing, but we go, duh. But unfortunately, there has been a scientific theory that has really kind of probably wreaked more havoc with biblical authority over the past 150 years than any false religion, any false gods, any false idols, and that is the idea of human evolution or macroevolution, the idea that all life, even us, we all accidentally evolved from a little amoeba, right? And the idea that the universe just said, oops, and we were here. Because that's really what we're saying. I mean, I hate to just simply reduce it to, but that is what we're saying. We're saying you're an accident. But the moment that you say that we're just here by random chances and random universal forces, that there's no God, there's no meaning, there's no purpose to life, that answers the next question. Why are we here? I don't know. You can't answer it. There's no reasoning, no purpose. And often this is what leads to atheism. This is what leads people to hopelessness, leads people to suicide. There is no meaning in life. Why? I'm not enjoying life. Why continue the suffering, right? I'm not accountable to any higher deity. And so there's all these ramifications. And of course, the idea of evolution, as it took hold of the scientific community and became our very dogmatic position, the biblical authority, even the church, has kind of waned as pastors tried to join the idea of human evolution with God and creation, and ran into a lot of problems. It's 150 years after Darwin, and we have a lot of scientific evidence that says somebody made all this. If you aren't aware of that, updated science, and I was just reading about chromosomes and amino acids. Does anybody want to get into that? I'm sorry, no. No, don't go there. So, but the interesting thing, well, there's this one cool thing. Did you know that all your traits, when the sperm and the egg come together, do you know all your traits disappear? Everything that says, and then somehow it comes back later. That's weird. We still haven't figured that out. There are things about the human genome in 2012, I believe, they completed, billions upon billions upon billions of these, let me explain it this way. Your body has a city in it of a whole bunch of little machines that have all kinds of purposes. There's a replication process in there. And there's just all this amazing little tiny machines and people, if you will, little things working all together. And it's amazing. And we're coded with these programs. We're actually, we're made up of words. Didn't you know that? The human genome, basically the things that make up all life on the planet, and even us, it's data, programming. We have software. We can change. We can adapt to whatever our environment is that we're in. Our body tells us, you need darker skin. That's going to happen, right? Well, you're up here kind of cold. You need something else, right? It's amazing how God made us. And the people want to take that and they still want to try and cram Darwinism and evolution into this ever-growing, expanding scientific knowledge. And it's not fitting. And you're thinking, well, why, Dave, haven't they replaced Darwinism? Simply because atheists would have nowhere to go. Because they would have to admit there's somebody or something in charge, and that's too close to saying there's God. And that would put them in a strange predicament. But the reason I'm sharing this with you is this is huge. It has big ramifications. As a Christian, gang, you do not have to put your brain on the shelf. Okay? You don't have to put your brain on the shelf. There are some bad creationist arguments, and there are some really good creationist arguments, really smart ones. And I put some references there in your notes, but I would just encourage you, if you believe in evolution, to really go back and research that again. There's a great book in there, Replacing Darwinism. Woo! That's an interest. That's a little hard read, but I'll tell you right now, but it's worth it. God made us. Amen? And all glory is given to him. I will not give my glory to another. I will not say, well, there was an accident and I'm here. That's a slap in the face of my creator. That's spitting in the face of God. And we got to call it what it is. That's idolatry. Because then we're placing ourselves as God. Right? We're replacing God with our own vision. Wow. Not cool. So he created everything. By the way, that whole area is also called natural revelation in theology. Anyways, why are we here, right? So here's the next question. Okay, God made us. That's cool. But why are we here? To seek God and to know him. Amen? God wants a relationship. This is so cool because so many other belief systems in the world have a God who could care less. He just wound up the universe and went away. He's on vacation somewhere, right? When, who was it? Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal. And they were saying, well, let's see whose God is real, and let's build this altar, you know. And then he was just waiting, and they were hours, and they were doing these rituals. They're cutting themselves and bleeding and chanting and singing and calling upon their fake God that doesn't exist. And you know, I love the Bible because it's so real. It leaves all the sarcasm and the nuances, and it's real people. It's Elijah, the prophet Elijah. He's all, yeah, I think your God's busy. Maybe he's relieving himself. You know, maybe he's, you know, on the toilet. He's just waiting. Wait, are you done now? Okay, watch this. Fire comes from heaven. Right? It's amazing scripture. And you just think, wow, did that really happen? Really happen. I've seen some things boggle the imagination. God is real, gang. And he's not some false God. He's not some God that's, oh, do all this to please me. You got to do all this stuff to please me. I mean, there's a way. He wants us to change our thinking. That's what the word repent means. Repent means, it's metanoia, is the Greek word. Metanoia means to change your thinking. And how are we going to change it? We need to think like he wants to think. He wants us to think. Amen? So repent means to change the way that we think. So if we repent, I mean, it's not just changing actions. We have to change the way we think. To transform our minds. As our minds are transformed and we start thinking more like godly ways of thinking, then our actions will change. Our actions will follow. Too often people try to, well, let me just get a list of actions, and then that's called legalism. And what happens, and then their faith is short-circuited, right? And they get discouraged. Oh, this is hard. That's because it's not how it's designed. God wants you to change your thinking. And you've got to let him into your mind. You've got to let him into your heart to transform you from the inside. Amen? And all the habits and things and the habitual sins, those things will get cleaned up along the way. But it's got to start with repentance. Have you heard the word repentance very often? We need to start talking about that. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Not the baptism, but the washing. Taking, you know, washing out the flesh is what it symbolizes. What it's a pledge of a conscience towards God. It's saying, Lord, wash me. Wash me. I want to be made new. I want to think differently. I want to enjoy your presence. Amen? And so he wants a relationship with us. You know, again, you can say, well, ask the universe. I began wondering, where in the world does that come from? And I guess the book The Secret got really popular, and there was a thing in there called the Law of Attraction. I guess you ask the universe, and you know, it's more kind of like Hinduism, really. And it's incompatible, gang, with Christianity. So if you're trying to mix, if you're trying to talk to the universe and the universe isn't saying anything, that's because the universe is a thing, not a person. And what we learned in school, right? God is a person, You talk to God, not his creation. What happens when we worship the sun, the moon, and the stars? That's called idolatry, boys and girls, right? That's called paganism, and God got mad when people would do that. Why are you worshiping the creation instead of the creator, right? He wants a relationship with us. That's been his plan all along, right? So, but to have a relationship, there needs to be kind of a changing of the way that you think. And again, this is apologetic. So you get to the gospel, you're able to weave the gospel into this, but you really, I think, need to answer some of these questions. Now, some people will just be open, you can just preach the gospel, great. But a lot of people have questions today. Why are we here? Do you notice something it says? It's a little bit different than anywhere else in the Bible. It says that in the times past, you overlooked ignorance. Do you catch that? What? God overlooked? You're saying that God overlooked their sin? Oh, wait a minute. God is not sending somebody to hell because of ignorance. People go to hell because they reject God. They reject Jesus. They reject his revelation. It's not because, oops, I didn't know. It's, I knew, and I went the other way. And yeah, back in the time, before Jesus had arrived on the scene, he was trying to reach out. God was trying to reach out to the non-Jewish nations. If you read the Old Testament, he even cared. Oh my gosh, you read the book of Jonah. Not only did he care for the Assyrians who persecuted the Jews, and he wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to turn to him, right? These are Assyrians, and they were barbaric. I won't describe how they killed people. It was pretty bad. But he tells Jonah, and right in there, there's a little line that says, and there's all these people, and what about all the animals? And you go, what? You mean God cares for all the livestock and all the animals, even little kitties and doggies? It's like, yeah. The Bible says what? A righteous man cares for his animals. Did you know that? Right? All life, God has given us a responsibility. And all life is precious to him. But not everybody wants to follow him. But I look at how much God cared. He even cared for the animals of the people that were persecuting his own chosen people. And I go, man, God, you got a lot of love. You got a lot of grace. And man, you overlook a lot of huge mistakes that we've made in this life. You're amazing. But he says, but now Jesus has come. There is no more time. There's no ambiguity anymore. There's no, well, I don't know what God is like. Look at Jesus. Oh. Jesus, Hebrews tells us what Jesus is, the image. He is the express image of the Father. Isn't that cool? You want to know what God is like, his personality and everything? Look at Jesus. You want to look at how God, he cried for his friend Lazarus. Remember Lazarus, who had died before he raised him from the dead? It says that Jesus wept. He was overcome. You don't think God is emotional? You don't think God loves you right now? You don't think that God cares about the situation you're in, your finances? You're worrying about the bills. You're worrying about your health. You're worrying about your kids. You know, you don't think he cares? He absolutely cares about your situation right here, right now. Nothing is too small for him to care about. And this is the thing we discover. Why are we here? To love God. To love God. And to have a relationship with him, not only for now, but for eternity. And that goes into really the third question, and that is this. What's going to happen to us? Well, it says what? Jesus is going to judge the world. Whoa. Wait a minute, didn't we just come to love and grace and everything? And now we got Jesus in Revelations. Jesus has got a sword coming out of his mouth. And what is the deal with that, right? And he's riding in on a white horse with an army. Wait a minute, that's scary, Jesus. I like the not-so-scary, loving, grace-filled Jesus. What happened? Now we got judgment Jesus. Same Jesus. What's going on here? What's going to happen to this world? Let me tell you. God has been patient way more patient. If you were our God, this world would be destroyed like 21,000 times over. You know what I'm saying? That's it. I've had it. I'm done. Start over. You know what I'm saying? It's like building something with your kids, building something with Legos, this presser goes, tears it all apart and wants to start all over again, right? We're so impatient. But God is full of grace and patience, and he is giving time for all to repent, right? 2 Peter 3:9, God's given us time to repent, to change our ways of thinking. He wants us to be with him for all eternity. He is going to judge this world. You're thinking, what about all the evil? And what about all the, man, you stuff you read in the news and you think, that's crazy. What's going to happen? You know, where did that Las Vegas shooter guy go when he died? Well, I can give you a guess. What's going to happen? Where did Hitler go? Where did all these people that did all these evil things go? Where's the justice in the world, right? God is going to deliver justice. He delivers justice to this world. He will deliver justice to all those who do evil. He'll take care of that. But he's also giving an opportunity for us to live with him forever in a place we call heaven, right? So this world is going to be judged. There's going to be a finality to this. That's why we need to hang on to this thing loosely. Amen? Don't get enamored by this world and the things that are in it. You have a choice, heaven or hell. What is heaven? Heaven is a place of light, of hope, of glory. It's a place where God is present. It's a place where goodness is present. And if you enjoy spending time with God here, you're going to enjoy spending time with him there. Hell is a place of darkness, of torment. Not torture, torment is the word that's used. And what does that mean? You're tormented because you're probably thinking, man, I wish I would have made a different choice in life. But that was then and there. This is here and now. And so you're in a place, there's a lot of metaphors in Scripture, in a place of darkness, in a place of judgment. You're in a place where God is absent. That's the worst part. That's the worst destination for a soul in eternity, is the empty void, right? I don't know an exact description of hell. I don't know an exact description of heaven. We are given a lot of word pictures, a lot of metaphors. But I know one thing. One place is going to be awesome, and one place is going to be horrible. And I want to be in the awesome place. How about you guys? Amen? I would rather be in the awesome place. But here's the thing about, that's not fair, right? People say, well, that's not fair. Why is there hell? And I don't believe in that. Well, you cannot believe in something. Doesn't make it go away. If you don't love somebody here, there's somebody you really don't like, you really don't care for him, do you want to be dragged kicking and screaming to live with him forever? You don't, right? That's hell. And I'm not making light of it like, oh, well, that could be kind of bearable. I hardly doubt it's going to be bearable. But that's where he's absent. There's no relationship, right? That's where the other guy goes and all his workers and stuff, the devil, and just read Revelation, talks about that. We were made for a purpose. We were made to love God, to have a relationship with him, that not for just now, but for all eternity. And that's what we're working on as we come here and we grow in him. Amen? That good? Now, there are three responses. When you talk about these three things, again, you can use it as an outline. You don't have to talk out the talking points that I talk about. There's a couple websites on there that you can go to. But there are three possible responses. Notice at the end of the passage, people will either reject the message, the rejection, or ridicule. And I know people say, well, you know, just remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. No, they're rejecting you because Jesus is in you. But you're okay. You'll survive. Amen? I was looking on YouTube, I was listening to some worship songs, and if you go to Hillsongs or Elevation or Bethel Worship, they have some awesome, awesome songs. But it's amazing. I was reading all the testimonies, and I noticed like 14,000 likes, and then there was like 2,000 or 3,000 dislikes, the thumbs down. And I'm going, who's going to give a thumbs down at a worship song? You would be surprised. because there are people, atheists and whatnot, who troll those sites and are like, but there's this attitude against God, thumbs down, man. I don't want nothing to do with him. Well, there's consequences for that choice, but it's your choice, right? There's some people that will reject. Some people, you've opened the door. They're like, you know what? That's interesting. I want to hear more. Can you talk to me more about Jesus? That's awesome. And some people, they will accept the gospel. They're like, you know what? You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. You've come along, and you know that's not a coincidence. You know God appointed a time for you to come along to talk to that person about the Lord just the right time, and then they're ready to accept the gospel. Boom. Right? That's awesome. But don't let the first one discourage you. Gang, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. That's okay. Pray for them and move on. Pray for the person. You can pray for that. Continue to pray for that person, but move on and talk to somebody and find somebody that's open and willing to listen and tell them about the Lord. Amen? But don't get discouraged about it. But basically, this is kind of the first introduction to really kind of what is apologetics. That's what it is. That's why it's important. Now, people get intimidated because then they look at, oh, man, I got to know all this stuff about science. Not necessarily. There's a lot of different areas. But it's just knowing a little bit about the person that you're talking to, what they're interested in. They might be interested in those things. You can get that information. That opens a door, right, that might have not been opened before. Because maybe they thought, oh, you guys just believe in blind faith, just have faith. Well, no, there's, and you throw a couple things out there, and you'll be surprised how many doors that will open. That's why apologetics is used. That's why it's important. That's why the Apostle Paul often reasoned and argued with it. But with that, we're going to go ahead and close. Let's pray.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless. And have a great week in the Lord.